It was last Monday when the National Hurricane Center assessed a high probability of a tropical cyclone developing in the Gulf of Mexico. Then by Wednesday, July the 10th, the NHC began issuing various warnings, including a hurricane watch for the Louisiana coast. And just as they predicted, Tropical Storm Barry reached hurricane status as it made landfall in Louisiana yesterday morning. Thankfully, the people in the path of the storm, they were forewarned about the destructive power of Barry. As a matter of fact, it was Thursday, July 11th, when authorities issued a mandatory evacuation for the people in the parish that would be affected by the storm. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards warned residents that Barry would be a significant weather event and encouraged them to not take the storm lightly. Now, you would think that the people there in that area would be quick to heed the warnings, and you would imagine that they would flee from the path of destruction. And yet, there are always those who ignore the warnings only to end up putting their lives at risk, not to mention those who come to rescue them. For example, it was yesterday morning when the Coast Guard was called upon to go and rescue a dozen people who were stranded on a remote Louisiana island. That's right, 12 people decided to go out to a remote Louisiana island in preparation for this storm. Clearly, those people weren't concerned about the destructive power of Barry. Well, that is until hurricane force winds were actually upon them. And then it's like, Coast Guard, please help us. And in light of their mistake, I just want to take this moment to encourage everyone here today. We ought to take heed to the storm warnings of those who encourage us to seek immediate shelter. This is wise, to pay attention to the warnings of those who say, hey, destruction is coming and it's headed your way. And with that being the case, I also want to take this moment to encourage every person here this morning to heed the spiritual warnings that we find all throughout the Bible. You see, the Bible presents us with many warnings about the destructive power of sin. For example, the Bible contains warnings about the destructive power of laziness. And not only that, but the Bible also presents warnings about the destructive power of pridefulness. The Bible contains warnings about the destructive force of lust and sexual immorality. And not only that, but the Bible also contains warnings about the destructive power of divisiveness. And while it's true that the Word of God is filled with all sorts of warnings about the way that sin can destroy our lives, there is one reoccurring warning that we find over and over again all throughout the Scriptures about the destructive power of deception. Here in our text today, we find Peter presenting us with one such warning. And we find the apostle warning his audience about the destruction that occurs in the lives of those who embrace the deceptive doctrines of deceitful teachers. And as we study the Scriptures before us this morning, we'll begin to see, first of all, that deceptive teachers declare destructive doctrines. Secondly, we'll learn that deceptive teachers drive people in a destructive direction. Thirdly and finally, we'll learn that deceptive teachers lead people to a destructive destination. Well, with this as our outline, let's open our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2, where we find the Apostle Peter. He's warning the original recipients of this epistle about the false teachers who teach destructive doctrines. Did you make your way to 2 Peter chapter 2? I should take some time to put our text back into its context. I want to first remind you that it was back in the first chapter of this epistle where Peter encouraged every Christian to embrace the knowledge of the truth which is found in the prophetic word of God. Peter wants us to embrace the knowledge of the truth that we find in our sacred scriptures, and then he goes on to assure his audience that his testimony about Jesus, it's not based on fictitious mythologies. No, instead, he's providing the church with an eyewitness account of the miraculous ministry of our Messiah so that we might know the truth about the one who tells us that he is the truth. Now, here in 2 Peter chapter 2, we find the Apostle Peter, he's warning his disciples about the deceptive doctrines of false teachers. And so this is sort of a contrast to chapter 1. In chapter 1, he's saying, hey, I'm telling you what the truth is. And in chapter 2, he's telling us, hey, there's people who are lying to you. And there's people who are trying to deceive you, and you need to be forewarned. With this as the context, if you would look with me here, beginning at verse 1, here Peter declares, "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Now here in our text today we find Peter. He's warning the original recipients of this epistle about the false teachers who were at that point in time already introducing deceptive doctrines to the disciples of Jesus Christ. And according to Peter here, this really shouldn't come as a surprise. We shouldn't be surprised about the fact that there are false teachers in the church today. And the reason why is because there have always been false prophets plaguing the people of God with deceptive doctrines. It's for this reason that the Lord led the prophets of God to warn the children of Israel about the deceptive lies of all the false prophets that were coming into their midst. For example, we find in Jeremiah chapter 14, the prophet Jeremiah there warns the people by declaring this. He says, "The Lord said to me, 'The prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart.'" So we see that the Lord warned the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah about all the false prophets who were there in their midst. And not only that, but we find the same sort of warning in Ezekiel chapter 13. There, the prophet Ezekiel declares, "Thus says the Lord God, 'Woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing.'" Isaiah also warns us about the false prophets. It's in Isaiah chapter 9 where the prophet Isaiah warns the people about the prophet who is teaching lies. Without debate, the people of God have always been plagued by the deceptions of false prophets. And with that being the case, we should take a moment to ask why. Why is it that the Lord allows false prophets to rise up and deceive his people? And with this question in mind, you know, I would point out that the Lord could just completely wipe out the person who takes a stand and says, "Thus saith the Lord," and then they begin to deceive the people with a lie, and the Lord could just, you know, wipe him out in that very moment. But he doesn't. Why not? Well, with this question in mind, if you would hold your place here in Peter's second epistle, I want to consider something that Moses wrote in Deuteronomy chapter 13. You would, let's make our way to the 13th chapter of Deuteronomy. And as you make your way to Deuteronomy 13, I want to take a moment to point out that a false prophet is the person who attempts to convince others that they've received divinely inspired information from God, when in fact, they're actually only presenting the thoughts of their own vain imaginations. Knowing that there are many people who attempt to speak for the Lord, anytime somebody says, "Well, the Lord told me this," Or "thus saith the Lord," anytime I hear that, it's just red flags all over the place for me. And I want to know, you know, is what they're saying true? And the reason why is because false teachers and false prophets want to say that God told them this or that. And according to Moses, God allows this to happen and for a specific purpose. With this in mind, if you would look with me there at Deuteronomy chapter 13, I want to begin reading at verse 1. Here Moses declares, "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and hold fast to him." Now, here in these verses, we find Moses. He's helping the children of Israel to understand that the Lord is actually allowing the false prophets to present their false proclamations, and he's doing this in order to test the hearts of those who claim that they love the Lord. And it's in similar fashion that the Lord is also allowing false teachers to rise up in the church today with deceptive doctrines in order to test the hearts of those who profess to be the followers of Jesus Christ. In order to prove my point, let's make our way back to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to draw your attention once again to verse 1. Here again, the Apostle Peter declares, he says, "There were also false prophets among the people," talking about Old Testament times, and then says this, he says, "even as there will be false teachers among you." Now, in order to understand Peter's point here, we must not fail to notice those words, "even as," "even as." Peter was actually using a Greek conjunction, which can also be rendered "likewise" or "just like." There were false prophets among the people. Likewise, there will also be false teachers among you. The scholars who created the Christian Standard Bible, they render the beginning of verse 1 in this way: "There were indeed false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you." Or in other words, the false teachers that rise up in the church today serve the same purpose as the false prophets that we find in Old Testament times. God is allowing false teachers to rise up today for the same purpose that he allowed them to rise up in Old Testament times, to test the hearts of those who say they love the Lord. Do you really love the Lord? Are you really going to place the teachings of God's word, the truth and the knowledge of God found in his word, are you going to put that above your own desire? Or are you going to listen to the lies of deceivers? In order to further explain what I'm trying to say, let's look again there at verse 1. Here again, Peter tells us that there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. Now, the word heresies here, it's translated from a Greek word which was used in reference to any dissension arising from a diversity of opinions and aims. Heresies. This refers to the doctrinal deviations that cause discord and divisions amongst the disciples of Christ. And while it's true that the church has been completely divided into different denominations by a myriad of non-essential doctrines, I don't think that Peter here is talking necessarily about these non-essential doctrines that divide. No, and the reason why I say that is because he tells us here that he's referring to destructive heresies. Not just non-essential heresies, but destructive heresies. That word destructive, it's translated from a Greek word which was used to describe the miserable state of those who suffer in the torments of hell. For example, it's the same Greek word that the Lord Jesus uses in Matthew chapter 7 where he declares, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction." That's the same Greek word. In 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul used the root of this word when he referred to those who would be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, in light of these verses and the use of the word destructive, we can see here that this word destruction that Peter is using, it has everything to do with the everlasting torments of those who end up in hell. And with that being the case, a destructive heresy is any false doctrine that causes division in the church and could potentially lead someone to hell. In order to further explain what a destructive heresy might look like, we should consider something that the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle. If you would hold your place here in 2 Peter, and let's turn in our Bibles to the fourth chapter of 1 John. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 4, and as you make your way to 1 John 4, I want to point out that we find the Apostle John here. He's actually presenting a warning to the first century church, and this warning has everything to do with the false teachers who were coming along and denying the physical incarnation of Christ Jesus. The physical incarnation, this refers to the way that God the Son put on the frailty of humanity in the womb of the Virgin Mary so that God could walk around amongst us in human form. This is the physical incarnation of Christ Jesus. And as we examine these verses, we'll see here that the physical incarnation of Christ Jesus is an essential doctrine which cannot be denied. Let's consider how John puts it here in 1 John chapter 4. Look with me there, beginning at verse 1. Here John declares, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." In these verses, we find John, he's helping his audience to understand that the physical incarnation of Jesus Christ is an essential doctrine that every true believer will embrace. If somebody comes to you and says, "I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that, you know, that God became flesh and dwelt among us." Well, listen, they're not a Christian then. Because this is an essential doctrine of the Christian faith. If somebody says that Jesus Christ is not God in the flesh, then they are of the spirit of the Antichrist. And it's sad to say that the world is filled with these false teachers, and these false teachers want to make their doctrine palatable. They want to say, "Well, Jesus was a good prophet. Jesus was a good teacher. Jesus was a righteous dude," you know, as some might say. But when it comes to the concept that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, that's where they draw the line and say, "No, well, Jesus never claimed to be God." Be careful. Because those who deny the doctrine of the incarnation are actually denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only are they denying the incarnation, the doctrine of the incarnation, but these false teachers are also denying the essential doctrine of Christ's redemptive sacrifice. And with this in mind, if you would, let's turn back to 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to consider how Peter puts it, beginning in again there at verse 1. Here Peter tells us that there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them. For the sake of clarity, it'll help you to know that the word "bought" there, it's actually translated from a Greek word which could also be rendered "redeemed." They're denying the Lord who redeemed us. This is the same Greek word that John used in Revelation chapter 5, where we find the saints of God there in heaven. They're singing the praises of our Savior. And in the song that they're singing, they say, they ask the question, "Who has redeemed us to God by his blood?" And they're, of course, singing about Jesus Christ. That word "redeemed" that they used, it's the word "bought." They're singing that Jesus has bought us by his blood. It was there on the cross where Christ Jesus, God incarnate, settled the sin debt of those who trust in him. Please understand that we all have a sin debt. Those who have sinned, well, we owe the sin debt. And thankfully, Jesus Christ came along, God the Son, in human form, and he allowed his own creation to crucify him so that through the shedding of his blood, we could be redeemed. And according to Peter, there are false teachers who are denying this essential doctrine of Christ's redemptive work. They want to say that, well, you know, the work's not completed. It's not finished. Or there's other ways of salvation. These are false doctrines. They're destructive doctrines that will lead people into everlasting torment. We should also notice that these false teachers will secretly bring in destructive heresies. They secretly bring in destructive heresies as they deny the Lord who bought them. In other words, these false teachers who attempt to infiltrate the church with destructive doctrines, they don't just show up and announce themselves as such. They don't show up to church one day and say, "Okay, so hey everybody, I'm a false teacher, you know, and I want to deceive you with a destructive doctrine." No, they don't do it like that. No, instead, they're more like the ravenous wolf who shows up dressed in sheep's clothing. Underneath the veneer, underneath the facade, there is a beast who is there to deceive and destroy. But when they come in, they present themselves as a cuddly little sheep. Just another one of us. It's sad to say that there are many in the church today who end up being duped by these deceivers. Many in the church today are being led astray by wolves who are dressed in sheep's clothing. And the reason why is because those false teachers are always happy to tickle the itching ears of the discontent disciple who really wants something other than what the Lord has provided. And this brings us to our second point because, listen, deceptive teachers not only declare destructive doctrines, but deceptive teachers are also driving people in a destructive direction. And with this as our focus, let's continue to consider the warning that Peter here presents. We find ourselves again in 2 Peter chapter 2. If you would look with me again, beginning at verse 1, here Peter declares, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed." In these verses, we find the Apostle Peter helping his audience to understand that those who embrace destructive doctrines, they end up heading in a destructive direction. When you embrace a destructive doctrine, you end up embracing the destructive ways or the destructive road or the destructive path of the deceiver. Just to be clear, the word destructive found there in verse 1, it's translated from the same Greek word that Peter used twice back in verse 1. There he warns the church about destructive heresies and also the swift destruction which comes upon the deceivers. In all three of these cases, it's the same Greek word translated destructive. Simply put, those who embrace the destructive doctrines of deceivers end up heading in a destructive direction. One evidence of this, it's found in the tragic story of a mass suicide that took place in a San Diego suburb just 22 years ago. It was March 27th, 1997, when 39 members of the Heaven's Gate cult were discovered dead in their compound. Now, the reason for their untimely death was due to the fact that they were following the deceptive teachings of a man named Marshall Applewhite. Applewhite was convinced he had the right message of salvation, and so he convinced his followers to believe that aliens were coming to save them and that the spaceship of these aliens was actually hidden behind the Hale-Bopp comet, which is why you couldn't see it coming. He assured his followers that suicide was the only way to board that spacecraft because apparently they didn't have the beam-you-up technology yet. And so he convinced these people that they needed to kill themselves in order to board the spacecraft. As a result, 39 people consumed a lethal dose of barbiturates and vodka as they waited for their alien saviors. Now, as we consider the tragedy of this event that took place just in recent history, it's important to understand that Marshall Applewhite didn't attract his adherents by showing up presenting them with a suicide pact. He didn't show up and say, "Hey, look, you know what? I believe in spaceships and aliens and UFOs, and we should all kill ourselves in order to board the ship." That's not the way he went about it. He didn't just go put out a flyer inviting people to come and join him for a mass suicide party. No, instead, he simply promised salvation. He promised salvation to those who would join his crew as they all waited together for their alien saviors. And it's sad that his followers, they fail to realize that Applewhite was a deceiver. He was a deceiver who was presenting them with destructive doctrines that would destroy their lives. And as a result, they allowed his destructive doctrines to lead them down a destructive path, which led to their demise. Without debate, this is an extreme example of the way in which destructive doctrines will lead a person down a destructive path. Chances are the average person will never end up joining a suicidal UFO cult, right? You know, the average person isn't going to, you know, wake up one day and just think, you know, how do I go and follow the craziest person that I can find? You know, that's not the way we typically go about things. The majority of the people in the world today would never join some sort of UFO cult. And yet, at the same time, I must insist that the majority of people in the world today are currently headed down a destructive path. And the reason why is because the majority of people in the world today have embraced the destructive doctrines of false teachers. You see, most people in the world today reject Jesus as being their Savior. Most people in the world today are denying the Lord Jesus, who paid for our sins with his own blood on the cross. And with that being the case, they're headed in a destructive destination, or a destructive direction, I should say. This, of course, is most certainly true of those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And yet at the same time, I want to shift gears and just kind of consider how there are people in the church today who are also headed in a destructive direction. And the reason why is because they've embraced deceptive doctrines of false teachers. And in order to prove my point, hold your place here in 2 Peter chapter 2. I want to consider the way that Paul puts it in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of 2 Timothy, and as you make your way to 2 Timothy 4, I want to take a moment to point out that the 21st century church no longer seems to be very concerned about the infiltration of these false teachers. You know, Peter's given us this warning that these false teachers are going to come into the church, and yet it's sad to say that there are many in the church today who have no concern about this. They're not worried about it. They're not attempting to examine every teacher to make sure that they're teaching something that is biblically true. And not only that, but there are many in the church today who are happy to exchange the tough truths of God's word for any sort of pleasing lie that makes them happy. It's for this reason that there are many churches now being led by false teachers who have no problem telling their congregation whatever it is they want to hear. This was actually the concern that Paul was presenting to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 1, Paul declares, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." It doesn't say that they won't endure doctrine. It says they won't endure sound doctrine. "But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Here in these verses, we find Paul warning Pastor Timothy about this day when the truth of sound doctrine would no longer be acceptable even in the church. And it's sad to say that this is a pretty good description of what's happening here in the 21st century church. Many churches are no longer interested in sound doctrine. They want entertainment. They want to feel good. Rather than seeking out pastors who will teach the tough truths that are found in God's word, there are many Christians in the church today who are more interested in finding teachers who will simply affirm our depraved desires. As a result, many churches have embraced the false teachers who are quick to exchange sound doctrine with destructive heresies. And with that being the case, we should pay careful attention to the statement that Paul made there in verse 4. Look with me again where he tells Timothy, "They will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." Here in this verse, we find Paul, he's helping Timothy to understand that those who choose to turn their ears away from the truth of sound doctrine, which is found in the word of God, when we turn our ears away from that truth, we're simultaneously choosing to travel down a path of deception, which ultimately leads us to destruction. Simply put, those who embrace the destructive doctrines of deceptive teachers, they end up heading in a destructive direction, which according to Peter results in swift destruction. In order to further prove my point, we should consider an encouragement that Paul presented to Pastor Timothy. If you would continue holding your place there in Peter's second epistle, and let's turn in our Bibles now to 1 Timothy chapter 6. As you make your way to the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy, I want to take a moment to just remind you that the devil can no longer claim the soul of those who trust in Jesus Christ. When we place our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, and the devil can no longer claim our soul. If you've been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, then you can rejoice in knowing that we no longer need to fear the condemnation of everlasting destruction. At the same time, though, it's also crucial for every Christian to realize that the devil and his demons are sending their servants into the church so that the body of Christ might be destroyed from within by the destructive heresies of deceptive teachers. In this way, the enemy is attempting to keep every Christian from accomplishing the Great Commission by distracting the disciples of Christ with the false doctrines that could cause us to stumble back into a life of sin so that we're no longer able to lead others into saving faith. And it's sad to say that many believers have wandered from the narrow path of righteousness simply because, well, they ended up embracing destructive doctrines along the way. They got distracted by deception. Let's consider how Paul puts it here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. If you would look with me there, beginning at verse 3. Here Paul declares, "If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil, suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself." In these verses, we find Paul warning Pastor Timothy about these false teachers who saw no problem introducing doctrines that actually failed to line up with the wholesome words of Jesus Christ. And knowing that there were false teachers there in the first century who were attempting to infiltrate the church, Paul encourages Timothy here that it was his job as a pastor to protect his fellowship by withdrawing from every deceiver, and especially those who were preaching covetousness rather than contentment. Paul was very concerned about those teachers who were teaching things that didn't line up with the truth of God's word, but instead saw godliness as a means of gain. In order to address this, we should continue to look here at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll pick up at verse 6, where Paul declares that godliness with contentment is great gain. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in what? In destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Here in these verses, we learn that there were already Christians right there in the first century who were beginning to stray from the faith. They were straying from the faith, and the reason why is because they had already embraced the destructive doctrines of the false teachers who were there to tell them that the Lord wants every Christian to be rich while we're here in this world. And they were exploiting these believers by saying, "Hey, look, if you would just simply follow my teachings, then you'll be wealthy before you know it." Rather than realizing that the blessings of the Lord are poured out on the believer who learns how to be content as we walk by faith with the Lord, there were many Christians there in the first century who were straying from the faith because of their greediness, because they wanted something that God wasn't giving them. And it's for this reason that they began to head in a destructive direction. Sadly, these false teachers are still around. The church is still plagued by false teachers who want to assure us that godliness is a means of gain. Just to give you a few examples, one can be seen in the teachings of Joel Osteen. Osteen once assured his flock, and I quote him, "God wants us to prosper financially, to have plenty of money, to fulfill the destiny that he's laid out for us." I have yet to find any biblical support for that belief, and yet he preaches it proudly. Creflo Dollar agrees when he declares, and I quote, "Some people say it's about peace, joy, and love. No," he says, "it's about money." Now, this shouldn't be a surprise coming from a preacher named Dollar. And yet he has no problem telling us that it's not about peace, it's not about joy, and it's not about love. It's about money. Gloria Copeland perfectly presents the prosperity gospel when she declares this. She says, "Give $10 and receive $1,000. Give $1,000 and receive $100,000. I know that you can multiply," she says, "but I want you to see in black and white how tremendous the hundredfold return is." Now, the fact is, she's wrong on many levels. For example, I can't multiply. I'm horrible at it. Praise God for calculators. But secondly, she's telling us that God wants to give us a hundredfold multiplication of whatever we give. And it's just such a twist of the scripture that she's trying to teach. And in light of these examples, it's important for us to understand that the church is clearly still plagued by these false teachers who see godliness as a means of gain. And just as Paul promised, there are many in the church today who are heaping up these teachers. They don't want to hear sound doctrine. No, they want to heap up these teachers who tell them that you can be wealthy if you just claim it. And you better believe that these teachers are happy to tickle our ears with the destructive doctrines that encourage us to seek the wealth of this world. It's for this reason that many in the church today have strayed from the faith, all in an attempt to pursue their greedy desire for more money. It's also for this reason that the church is filled with Christians who have fallen into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which, according to Paul, drown men in destruction. Now, this brings us to our third point because, listen, deceptive teachers not only declare destructive doctrines, and deceptive teachers are not only driving people to a destructive direction, but deceptive teachers are also leading people to a destructive destination. And with this as our focus, let's make our way back to 2 Peter chapter 2. Here we find the Apostle Peter. He's describing the way that deceptive teachers are leading people to a destructive destination. And if you would, let's pick up our study once again at verse 1. Here, Peter again declares, "There were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." Now, here in verse 3, we learn about the way that false teachers, the ones who encourage the people of God to pursue the wealth of this world, according to Peter here, they're less interested in helping us to get rich, and they're more interested in acquiring our money. They exploit us with deceptive words by their own covetousness. I like the way that the scholars who created the King James Version rendered the beginning of verse 3. Here's how they put it. "Through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you." In their eyes, you are just merchandise. They don't care about you. They just want to make money off of you. With even more clarity, the scholars who gave us the New Living Translation, they rendered the beginning of verse 3 in this way. "In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money." That's what Peter's saying. That there's going to be false teachers who come along, and they're going to do everything they can to convince you to give them your money. I like the way that Paul described the greed of these false teachers. It's Titus chapter 1 where he tells Pastor Titus that there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. In other words, there are false teachers who are leading people astray with their deceptive doctrines, all for the sake of making money off gullible people who don't realize that they're actually being deceived. I can't help but to think of my dear old grandmother, who gave all of her money to prosperity preachers because they promised her that she would receive a hundredfold increase on every dollar that she sent to them. And that's what she faithfully did. She faithfully sent all of her money to these prosperity preachers, and yet she died penniless after giving all of her money to these false teachers who live in massive mansions and drive multiple cars, some of them even owning personal jets, on the pennies of people just like my grandmother. And it breaks my heart to say that the church is filled with people who can share the same exact story. I'm going to guess that many of us, most of us, probably know someone who is financially ruined after giving all their money to a prosperity preacher simply because that preacher promised an abundance of worldly wealth if they just continue to financially support their ministry. Truth be told, the only people who are getting rich off of the prosperity gospel are the false teachers. And those false teachers have no problem leading their followers towards financial ruin for their own personal gain. And not only are these false teachers leading people into financial ruin, but listen, they're also leading people to an untimely death. You see, much like my grandmother, my mom also believed in the deceptive teachings of prosperity preachers. And then came the day when she was diagnosed with cancer. But rather than seeking the aid of a physician, her pastor encouraged her to simply claim her healing by faith. That was the instruction that she received from her pastor. God has healing for you. Just claim it. And that's what she did. She had so much faith that she claimed her healing by faith, and she continued to claim her healing by faith until she died of that dreadful disease. She was only 33 when she died. And I know for certain that her life was cut short simply because she embraced the deceptive doctrines that ruin the lives of those who embrace them. Now, I rejoice in knowing that my mother is completely cured of cancer right now. She's completely cured of the cancer that claimed her life, and I know this is true because her faith was ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ. She was just deceived by a prosperity preacher who told her that something was true that isn't true. But her faith was in Jesus Christ, and I praise God, you know, for knowing that when I get to heaven, my mom is going to be there, we're both going to be healthy, and completely enjoying the rest of eternity together. At the same time, though, I also know right now that there are many Christians who have strayed from the faith after discovering that they were deceived by false teachers along the way. There are many people who survived. There are many people who right now are destitute of financial wealth, you know, and but then came to the recognition that that preacher on television had deceived them. And it's sad to say that there are many who come to that realization and then they throw out the entire faith. And they go, well, that person represents Jesus and it was false, and therefore they as a representation of Jesus, you know, and they just throw the whole thing out. The baby goes out with the bathwater. I don't mean to suggest that they've lost their salvation, because I believe that the Christian who trusts in Jesus Christ has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. But there are many who, just as Paul tells us, have strayed from the faith. And I'm here to tell you that the Christian who wanders from the narrow path of faith is headed in a destructive direction towards a destructive destination. You see, the Christian who embraces the destructive doctrines of deceptive teachers, they're now headed in that destructive direction, which ultimately ends up in some level of destruction in their life. For example, for some, this might be financial ruin, like for my grandmother. For others, this might be an untimely death, like my mother. This could be familial destruction. You see, the person who embraces destructive doctrines and then begins to head in a destructive direction, this becomes a backslidden believer who begins to make decisions that could possibly destroy their family. And so there's all kinds of ways that a life can be destroyed. by destructive doctrines. In order to understand more of what Peter is saying, I want to draw your attention back to 2 Peter chapter 2. If you would look with me again there at verse 3, here Peter declares, by covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Here Peter is reminding his readers that it's only a matter of time until the false teacher is judged and punished with swift destruction. I should point out that the word destruction found there at the end of verse 3, it's translated from the same Greek word that Peter used back in verses 1 and 2. Several times he's used the same Greek word for destruction, and it seems to me that Peter now is referring back to the swift destruction that he mentioned at the end of verse 1, which I'll remind you actually is a reference to the everlasting torment experienced by those who end up in the lake of fire. And in light of this, it's important for us to realize that the false teacher who exploits people for their own personal gain, they're actually headed to a specific destination. They're headed in a destructive direction towards a destructive destination where the wrath of God is poured out upon the sons of disobedience forevermore. And with that being the case, we ought to take a moment to ask, if the deceptive teachers who declare destructive doctrines are headed in a destructive direction towards a destructive destination, why in the world would any believer choose to ignore these spiritual warnings that Peter presented here in this verse? Much like those 12 people who rushed out to the island to go watch the hurricane come in and only to realize, oh, this was a bad idea. We need help from the Coast Guard. There's a lot of Christians making the same decision, spiritually speaking. They're ignoring the warnings of the scriptures and they're running headlong in a destructive direction. And it won't be long before they're crying out, Lord, help us. We've ruined our lives. This was precisely the point that Jesus was making in Matthew chapter 7. It's there in the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord Jesus declares, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Christian, listen, the world is filled with false teachers who want to lead us astray. Wolves who dress up in sheep's clothing and they creep into the church, all in an attempt to take us captive and destroy our lives. And while there are many who are happy to join them on the broad road that leads to destruction, I encourage you, heed the warnings. Heed the warnings that we find in the Bible so that we might escape the destruction caused by deception. I also encourage you to remember that the Lord allows false teachers to rise up and test our faith. The Lord allows false teachers to come in. And the Lord allows them to try to take us in a direction that is in conflict with the Word of God so that our faith might be put to the test. The Lord wants to see if we really love Him. Do we really believe in His Word? Do we really embrace His truth? And do we really place the truth of His Word above our own opinions and desires? As we begin to wrap up this message, I would encourage you to realize that the Lord not only allows false teachers to rise up and test our faith, but the Lord is the one who also has raised up pastors who are spiritually empowered to shepherd the flock that they've been called to protect. The Lord has raised up pastors to shepherd the flock so that the sheep might not be deceived by the wolf wearing sheep's clothing. And as the pastor of this church, I want you to know that I take this very seriously. And it's not my job to tell you what my opinions are. It's my job to take you to the Word of God and show you what the Word of God says so that we might align our lives to what the Word of God reveals. With that being the case, it's my hope that you will allow me to help you avoid the destruction that's caused by deception. With this as my goal, I want to help every Christian here to expose the deceptive teachers who declare destructive doctrines. I want to help you to identify those wolves wearing sheep's clothing. I also want to help you to identify the deceptive teachers who are driving people in a destructive direction. And I also want to help you to reject the deceptive teachers who are leading people towards a destructive destination. And with this as the goal, it's my job to bring you to the Word of God so that we can identify the lies of the deceiver. With that, I encourage you to seek the guidance of the leaders here at your church so that together we can prayerfully seek the help of the Lord. Because listen, the Lord alone, the good shepherd of the sheep, he is the one who can enable us to avoid the destruction that comes from deception. Let's pray.